Bhagavad Gita is a book of mankind's collected experience of and answers to life's most basic questions. Who I am? From where do I come? What is my purpose and destiny? And most practically, how do I find happiness? These podcasts originate in the lectures of Neil Bhatt, a disciple of Swami Chinmayananda. They are presented here in 20 to 30 minute segments, each covering three of the Gita's 701 verses. Welcome to Gita Wisdom for Daily Living.
We had been discussing chapter 10, and we had been going through this various example the Lord has given is where to see His presence in. We obviously have started with saying that I am in everything and I am the beginning, end and the middle of everything. Aham prabhavaha pralaya sarvasya. I am the beginning and the end of everything. Because Arjun wanted to know in whatever, what the different forms I should be worshipping you, in my meditation, how should I see you? He has given the 75 examples and we are halfway into it. And we have seen this, examples are given from Vedas, from Puranas, and from the day-to-day life and itihasas. So it covers all the experiences or the knowledge Arjuna had of that time. He was exposed to Vedas, he was exposed to Puranas, he was exposed to itihasas, the history of that land. So the examples are given which is familiar to him. So we continue in that. Pavanaha pavatam asmi. Among the purifiers, I am wind. You know. And we all know that the best way to keep health and sanitation in a house is the good ventilation. Without the air moving, it feels stale, things start deteriorating, and it's unhealthy. Common sense and common experience in all, moving air creates, you know, healthy environment. And Swamiji goes even a step further and said, Vyasa did not mention the sun, because sun and wind are too required for any purification, for any healthy environment. But he says Vyasa did not mention sun because the wind is not possible without sun. Wind only moves when there is a temperature difference. And therefore, sun is very essential to have wind to move. So he said, just indicating wind is also indicating sun. Probably in those days when they didn't have all those sanitizers, they probably relied more on the natural ventilation and natural air. So it's a very common example from one's life saying, among the purifiers, aham wind. Ramaha sastrabhrutam aham. Among the wielders of weapons, the warriors, I'm Rama. Obviously, indication here is for the Sri Ramachandra of Ramayana. And we all know there are those who have heard Rama, and Rama was the greatest warriors. But not only was the greatest warrior, but he was the perfect person. He was a perfect son, perfect husband, perfect father, perfect king. Perfect everything. He was the personification of perfection. Even he is a perfect enemy, because he will not do anything which is unjust. So Rama is given here as an example among the best of the warriors. Now obviously we know that Arjuna also considered the best of the warriors in his time. There is an indication here that at the Mahabharata time, they were aware of Ramayana. That Ramayana was already known to the people, or the Rama story was already known to the people during the Mahabharata. It also indicates how the society has changed from the Rama's time to the Mahabharata's time. In fact, it looks other way around. Typically, we think that the society evolved into more civilized society. But if you read Ramayana and Mahabharata, it looks like the society in Rama's time was more civilized and has greater values. Rama is a ekapatni vrat, only one wife. All the good values, there is not that many scheming incidents in Ramayana. Not cousins fighting and killing each other, or not cousins bringing the cousin's wife and take her sari off. So society must have deteriorated from Rama's time to the Mahabharata's time. But the values were all deteriorated. So, indication that among the warriors, I'm Rama. How Rama was a perfect warrior, even has the greatest strength and greatest power, but he never misused his power or never was unjust even to his enemy. Jashanam makarascha asmi. Among the sea creatures, I am alligator. Obviously, the translation here is a shark. I am using my own background. In Gujarati, the word makar is pronounced magar. And magar is actually alligator in Gujarati, at least. We also have stories about Shankaracharya. When he wanted to take sannyas, his mother didn't want to let him go. He goes to the river, and that alligator catches his leg. And he says, "Mother, let me become sannyasi, because he will not let my leg go till you permit me to become a sannyasi." Also stories about the Gajendra Moksha, where the elephant was caught by the alligator. From my perspective, makar is alligator, but it can be anything. Among the sea creatures, I am the alligator. And I see that as among the sea creatures, alligator can come out of the water and also go back. Is better than any other sea creatures who has to stay in the sea. So more evolved among the sea creatures. Strotasam asmi janave. Among the flowing waters, rivers, I'm janave, Ganga. As per the Puranic stories, don't have to take it very literally, but say Janu drank the whole river and made it dry and then released it in a controlled manner, just like we put the dam these days, you know. So. And Swamiji gives us the philosophical connotation of that. Now, obviously, our people, our sages and our rishis really have the fertile imagination and always convey their point by some very abstract stories, which kind of stays with your mind. So something like Janu drinking the whole river, well, that will stay with your mind. There's also one of the techniques I have read. When you want to do a total recall, how to improve your memory. You want to remember somebody's name, you have to imagine something really wacky about that name. And then you will remember it right away. When the next time you think about that. So this may be one of the techniques our sages use to give very fantastic stories. So you will remember it. It's like when the Agastya Muni was going, and the Meru on his way, tries to bend down to give respect to Agastya. Agastya just stay like that and goes away. Meru remains like that. So these are the stories which remains with you once you hear. Story of, obviously, Janvi, about Janu drinking the river. Ganges, obviously, considered a very holy river. Comes from the Himalayas, and obviously the whole culture developed on the Ganges River. The Ganga represent the flowing knowledge from the higher to us, the lower. That knowledge is only valuable if I drink it whole and make it my own. Once the knowledge is completely understood by me, because we learn this thing from Bhagavad Gita, from Purana, Shastra, we learn here and there, understand some, not understand much. We feel very good about what we have understood. And pound our chest, I have all the knowledge. Bhagavan said that's not enough. You have to drink the whole knowledge, make it your own. And then once you have the transcendental experience of what yourself is, with the complete understanding of the knowledge, then you release it for the benefit of others. Just like all sages do. Once they realize their self, they don't just keep it to themselves as content in that I am now realized. But they come out and give it to you for the betterment of all the people. If all the beings are my own self, how can I see the ignorance in others? So I have to come and give that knowledge to you. But in a very controlled manner, in a dosage which you can take and understand it. Idea of Ganga coming out of Janu's ears, it's a connection between the Shruti. The knowledge of Upanishad is considered Shruti, that which is heard by the ears and understood. And therefore it is probably given as it's coming out of Janu's ears. So these are philosophical ideas conveyed in fantastic stories so that we understand it. So he said, Strotasam asmi Janave. Among the river, among all this knowledge, I am Janave, which is perennial knowledge flowing all the time from higher to lower. And it's our right to absorb the knowledge in its totality. Sarganam adihi antascha madhyamcha eva aham Arjun. Among all creations. At some level, we are all creators. I'm being an architect, I always consider myself as a creator because that's my profession, to create things. There was nothing here, just the land, and I create a building out of it. So the creative instinct is very natural in all of us. And we create something or other. There was no food before you start cooking. Other nice dishes, so your creativity there. Your creativity in all your arts, on all the things which you do. And also we create our next generation from. So creativity is natural to us. And we understand the beginning and the end of our creation. But we consider us to be the creator. Who designed it? Well, I did it. Hindu temple, I designed it. Bhagavan said, I am in the beginning, middle, and the end of all creations. Without me, there is no creation possible. Without me being conscious, alive, no creation can take place. A dead Jagjit Singh cannot sing any ghazals anymore. He will remain immortal in our hearts, those of us who love him. But there will be no more new album coming out next year because he is no more there. If the consciousness is the substratum for all creation. The Bhagavan said, I as the all-pervading consciousness. The beginning, the middle. Middle when that creation is existing in time and space and when it dissolves into some other state of existence, it's still me, Bhagavan said. Adhyatma Vidya Vidyana. Among all the Vidya, all the knowledge, and the knowledge of the Self. Now, obviously, we are all Bhagavad Gita students, so we can say, yes, this is the most important. But even at our day to day life, for me to know something else, I need to know who I am. If I forget who I am, none of this knowledge makes any sense. For example, we have heard, obviously, maybe wacky stories, but somebody gets out of his wack, he starts thinking, I'm a dog. And then he goes to a psychiatrist and said, I'm a dog. If I forget who I am, no other knowledge is valid. For me to be an architect or a teacher, or whatever, I need to first know who I am. Then only I can relate to the world in an appropriate manner. So among all the knowledge, the first basic knowledge I need to have is who I am. Whether at the level of this relative relationship or at the absolute knowledge. But the knowledge of the Self is the essence of all the knowledges. And therefore Bhagavan says, Adhyatma Vidya Vidyana. We have also heard before that knowing which you will not have to know anything more. Knowing yourself, everything else becomes crystal clear evident. You know, if I know who I am, I know all my relationships. But once I have the Alzheimer, somebody was telling me yesterday that Pandurang Sastri had Alzheimer, right? In the last days of his life. One who gave knowledge of Bhagavad Gita and Self to everyone. In his last days, he didn't remember who he is or couldn't recognize his own relatives. So the knowing yourself in a day-to-day life is very important, but it is even more important for us to know our relationship with the Lord. So therefore, that is the most valuable knowledge among all. So Bhagavan said, I am that Adhyatma Vidya. without me being conscious about my own self, I will not know who I am. Vadaha pravadatam aham. I guess we last time talked about vadaha pravadatam. Those who exchange speech, talks, transact with the word pravadatam aham. In any kind of a discussion, two people have to express their own ideas. In the olden times, people made this knowledge communicated by their guru telling the shishya, or two pandits, you know, arguing with each other about what is truth and what is untruth. Vada vivad used to be a way of dealing with it. Vadaha pravadatamaham, among those who exchanges the ideas with their speech, and vada, and that the exchange can be of three types, you know, this vada, vivada, or vitandavada. One is very arrogantly expressing my ideas. One is to destroy the other's argument by any means, by false assumptions or right assumptions. Actually, we know this day, right? All debates about primary, doesn't matter the right or wrong, at least that time I prevail in the argument. After that, those guys will check the truthometer, who was right, who was not, how much correct he was in it. But at least at that time I destroyed my opponent. That's a vitandavada. And the jalpa or vivada is I arrogantly put my idea forward. I'm right. But vada is logically prove your argument or learn others' idea. Vada is systematically I prove my point so that the other can accept it with their own logic. And I may understand the other's logic the same way. That kind of exchange is the most fruitful exchange as we know. This is how the scientists communicate their ideas to each other. One scientist has something figured out. He talks to others, the other talks to his ideas. I designed some research labs, so I come across scientists a lot. And one of the things we found out, the one thing the scientists don't like is to talk to others. They like to be in their own little cubicle and do their stuff. But we know that the best science comes out by two scientists talking to each other. So when we design, one of the things we figured out is that if we create more collaborative spaces, then we force them to collaborate with each other. We force them to come out of their cubicles and their labs and make them talk to each other, like coffee places, informal sitting outside, where they bump into each other and say, well, let me ask you, what do you think about this? And the research says that the most science, the best science comes out of two scientists informally talking to each other. That's a vada. Nobody wanted to overpower the other. One is curious about the other's ideas, and the other explains in a logical manner what he thinks about it. And both get the benefit of that. That collaborative argument is called vada. So Bhagavan said, I am that vada among the two people discussing about anything. I'm not a vitandavada, I'm not a vivada. Aksaranam akaro asmi. We have seen that all these examples come from, Rama came from the itihasa. For us right now, it must be a great epic. At least Mahabharata time, they knew Rama as a king or a prince. So we have seen the example from their own history, from their day-to-day life. And now it comes to their own language. Aksaranam akaro asmi. Among all the letters, I am A. And we have discussed this many, many times. Why A is Om, starts with A, U, Ma. Three basic primordial sounds which makes all the speeches and all the words and sounds which we can hear in this world. But U or Ma does not even have an existence unless the A comes out. So A is the formative sound in the primordial sense. Therefore, Bhagavan says, I am A among all letters. And Swamiji explains even further that why Sanskrit language is so pleasant to hear. Because there is the preponderance of A sound in that. A lot of the Rama, Nama, Japa. Rama, Nama, Japa all have the A associated with it. that makes it very poetical, lyrical, pleasing sound to hear. Sanskrit chanting, we say, well, we don't understand all this chanting. Then I hear this argument all the time. Can we not translate all this thing in English? Not really possible. Because the lyrical nature of this chanting, which uplifts your soul, is only possible in Sanskrit. Because the language has its own formation to create music. That was Samaveda. It's all musical Veda. The language is so conducively designed to create music out of it that our ears feel very, very comfortable listening to it. Therefore, he says, Aksharanam Akaro Asmi. Without a sound, without these vowels, consonants are useless. And among the vowels, A is the basis of all other. Dvandvaha Samasikasya cha. Language, grammar. So Bhagavan gives examples from all walks of life that you and I are exposed to and say, anytime you see anything which is excellent, beautiful, divine, you can use it in your meditation as my expression. Dvandaha samaksikasya cha. Among the compounded words, I'm dvandva. And those of us who have learned at least some basic Sanskrit, we have learned different type of samasa. Dvandva samasa is the most common. In the most flexible samas which can combine two words, Sitaram, Ram Lakshman. I see all this Indian serials, so I see this Punjabis. They will always use the two words together. You know, Jap Sap Hai Kane, Shak Bag Hai Kane, because it's so pleasing to hear. So Dvandva samasa is one that is pleasing, it's easy to combine words, no matter whether they are meaningful or meaningless. They are the same category or opposite categories. But Dvandva is the most flexible samasa. Then there are other samasas, but they are probably more complicated. The one I know for sure is Bahuvrihi, which is my own name. Yashakantha Neelaha Saha Neelakantha, whose neck is blue-necked Neelakantha. But that's very complicated. Not all words can be fit into Bahuvrihi samasa. And there are so many other samasas which I know nothing about. But so Dvandva is the most flexible in the basic of compounding two words. Therefore Bhagavan says, among the compounding words, I am Dvandva. Aham eva akshayaha kalaha. In Bhagavad Gita, the ideas come repeatedly in a different form. You heard about in the previous verses that I am Kalaha, Kalayatam Aham. Now he says I am Eva Akshaya Kalaha. Time is something which we all know about. We measure our experiences in time. Well, it was too boring a lecture, too long a puja, you know, too short the music program, because we experience ourselves in time. That is a finite time which we measure our experiences in. In the previous verse, Kalaha Kalayatamaham, which makes me reckon things, the time, that's me, Bhagavan said. So I am that finite time in which you measure all your experiences. But now he says, Aham eva akshayaha kalaha. I am also that unperishing, unending time. From our perspective, the time flows from one direction to the another without any beginning or the end, actually. When did the time start? Beginning of the time. We have no even words to express. So, from our perspective, the time is endless. And we just divide it into finite time in our experiences. Now, obviously, Einstein defined it slightly differently. But from our sage's perspective, time is infinite. And it's always there. It's our experiences create a finite time, which is what Einstein literally defined it. That time is the distance between the two experiences. When I came here, when I leave, these two experiences, I defined this as time. Other person may define it completely differently depending on his station point and viewing this event, you know. So, Dataham Visvato Mukha. We have covered our language, our grammar, our experiences. And our experiences are also of various kinds. Our mental experiences, our physical experiences, our intellectual experiences, which we consider to be our knowledge. He said, I'm aware it's cold, my physical experience. I'm aware people are not happy these days. I'm aware about the truth about what's going on. So our awareness of experiences at a various level, and if I, at my limited micro level, if I can experience this thing at my physical level, mental level, intellectual level, you combine that with all the people and beings, the experiences, then everything in this world needs to be known, is known by this entities who consider themselves living. And we have seen that living beings are one thing in common. We are conscious about ourselves. That consciousness, for that consciousness, all experiences are known everywhere, all the time. Visvato mukham. I am experiencing the knowledge in this entire universe in everywhere as consciousness. My existence makes all the experiences possible in this universe, in all the beings. That's basically the idea. We'll stop right here.
Om Sarve Bhavantu Sukhina, Sarve Santu Niramayaha, Sarve Bhadrani Pashyantu, Ma Kaschid Dukkha Bhag Bhavet. Om Shantihi, Shantihi, Shantihi. Harihi Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. Harihi Om.